Our first guest is Joe Lombardo with Bethlehem Neighbors for Peace, and he's also national co-chair of the United National Anti-War Coalition. So welcome, Joe.
Thank you, Mark.
Can you give us a brief overview of your work here in the Capital District with the peace community?
Well, I am one of the founding members and on the coordinating committee of Bethlehem Neighbors for Peace, which was founded right before the United States invaded Iraq in 2003. We had a meeting and a vigil and then various protests, and we've been going ever since because the wars have been continuing and expanding throughout the world. Ever since. We hold a weekly vigil on the corner of Delaware and Ellesmere in Bethlehem. We hold a monthly forum meeting, film showing or whatever, at the Bethlehem Library, and a whole series of other events, usually based upon the main event that's taking place in the world at the time.
So these are global peace issues, but can you talk about some of the key issues that the local groups in this area are focused on?
Well, there's a number of peace groups in this area. There's Bethlehem Neighbors for Peace. There's Women Against War. There's the Peace Action. There's Veterans for Peace and a number of others. And typically, the peace groups today talk about the wars at home and the wars abroad because they're very connected. A number of soldiers who are over in fighting in Afghanistan or Iraq or Syria or wherever, kicking down doors, maybe in the middle of the night in those countries, have come back and have been hired into police forces around the country. And there's been a militarization going on in the police where a lot of the equipment that from these wars has been coming back into the communities. You start seeing police officers no longer dressing in blue in some areas, but dressing in khaki uniforms. You've heard of police agencies characterizing people, especially in the black communities, as the enemy rather than people that they should be serving. Just as they did in these wars abroad. We also see the attacks on immigrants as part of the war at home, the attacks on unions, and much, much more. The money that goes for war in this country is tremendous. It's close to what all other countries in the world pay for war, and that money should be used for human and social needs back at home. So the anti-war committees in this area and around the country these days talk about the wars abroad and the wars at home.
Now, you mentioned one of the things that the groups have been focused upon is, attack on immigrants. And I know that particularly Bethlehem Neighbors for Peace had worked a number of years ago with a local imam who was basically kicked out as a chaplain in the prison system because of, his religious beliefs, and in the longstanding case of individuals associated with the mosque on Central Avenue being sentenced for many years in jail as part of a sting operation by, the federal government. How has the Muslim, issue evolved over the years here in the Capital District?
Well, in the beginning, a lot of these wars were characterized as the war against terror, and a lot of that was to build up a case against Muslims as being terrorists around the world. And so it became important for them to attack Muslims in the United States also, and they have done that, not just with the case of the Muslims at the Central Avenue Mosque, but there's been a number of others from that mosque and others in this area that have been attacked. And including the one in Delmar who you mentioned, which was Imam Umar, who we were able to help and get a good resolution of that case. But there are special Muslim prisons in the United States. They're called CMUs, Communication Management Units, and the government admits hundreds of Muslims have been picked up and put in these very restrictive, draconian types of prisons so that they can't communicate with other people and so forth. And part of this is to build a case against Muslims. And someone like Trump has taken that to the logical conclusion and says we need to have bans on people coming into the country. We need to have walls. We need to have other kind of institutions in place that keep immigrants and especially Muslims out of the country. And that's very much part of the anti-war movement. If you are going to oppose the war on terror abroad, you have to oppose the war on terror here.
Right. I guess in addition to wreaking havoc on those communities of Muslims in other countries, the war-ravaged countries, there's also damage happening to them back in the United States. And as well, the soldiers who are coming back, who may be coming into police forces and inflicting violence on other local communities. We also have a huge problem of veterans returning with drug disorders and PTSD. What are the peace efforts in this area dealing with that problem as well?
Well, there's a lot, and Veterans for Peace in particular nationally has played a big role in trying to help veterans that are coming back and demanding that they get the kind of services they need. But they're committing suicides at a very rapid rate. Those, too, are the casualties of war, and we have to understand that. The drug addictions that are taking place, you know— before the U.S. invaded Afghanistan, no heroin was coming from Afghanistan. Soon after, about 90% of the heroin that comes into this country is coming from Afghanistan. And they have drones, they have satellites, they can tell a car coming across a border from Pakistan to Afghanistan and send a drone after it. You don't think they can stop these poppy fields from growing and stop this this heroin? So a byproduct of war has always been situations with the veterans and PTSD and addiction, and that's affecting our entire country. There's an epidemic right now of opiate in our communities, and a lot of this comes from Afghanistan.
Now, certainly one of the hot button issues, almost a third rail issue in the Capital District, if not the country, has been the issue of Israel and, you know, its treatment of the Palestinian people. We have the president, apparently sometime this week, is going to recognize Jerusalem as the capital of Israel, which, you know, previous governments have refused to do because the Palestinians also view that as their capital. How is the president's move on this going to impact upon the whole peace negotiations in the Middle East?
Well, it's going to destroy it. And the president did move on this today. He proclaimed that Jerusalem is the capital of Israel. And he also announced that we would be moving the embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. These are terrible moves, and they split apart any kind of possibility of negotiations. Because Palestine also considers Jerusalem their capital, and it also is a holy place for Christians. And the three religions there need to have access to it in a real way from their religious viewpoints. But this is a blow to the Palestinians. When Israel was first founded, which was a terrible idea, a terrible thing to do. I mean, there was a place in the world called Palestine, and there were people that lived there called Palestinians. And the United Nations, many, many miles away, decided, well, we're going to divide that and give half of it as a Jewish state and let the Palestinians have the other half of their country. Imagine if someone did that in the United States. They said, well, we'll take New York and California and Texas, and we'll leave you the rest or whatever, and we're going to put whatever population we want from around the world to come into there. But ever since that period in 1947, when there was about equal amounts of land going to Israel and to the Palestinian state, Israel has encroached upon that, and there's almost nothing left for a Palestinian state. Places like Gaza are open-air prisons. If a young kid gets a scholarship to a college outside in Europe or the United States, the Israelis decide whether they can leave or not. And the Israelis control that. The Israelis control where they can fish and what kind of products they can produce and what can come out and how much food will go into there and how much building materials will go into there. They do not have any control over their lives whatsoever. And this is just another terrible move in the direction of suppression of Palestinian rights. So not just in the Arab countries, but all over the world right today, demonstrations are starting, and they will be happening in the United States. The Palestinian Rights Committee in the Capital District is talking about holding an action in the next few days. Nationally, UNAC, the United National Anti-War Coalition, for which I'm the one of the national co-coordinators, will be holding a meeting on Sunday and will likely call demonstrations throughout this whole country. We have to stop this madman in the White House before he destroys our world.
Well, speaking of apocalypse, the local peace community has also reacted to the escalating conflict between Trump the Trump administration and the now nuclear-armed North Korea. Would you care to comment on that?
Yeah. Look, the United States, after the during the Korean War, the United States killed about a third of people in, the, in that country. They carpet bombed the country. They destroyed just about every building and then started bombing the dams like they did in Vietnam when they bombed the dikes. These are international war crimes. You're not allowed to bomb dams, even if you're at war, to try to flood the population and just kill as many people as you could. But the United States did that. And when the war ended, North Korea said, well, let's have a peace treaty. And the United States said, absolutely not. We still intend to take over your country. And the United States has refused to sign a peace treaty since the end of the Korean War. Twice the Koreans have entered into negotiations with the United States to stop their nuclear arms. In both cases, they stopped their nuclear programs. And in both cases, the United States did not hold up their part of the bargain. The United States has about 30,000 troops on the border with North Korea. It holds war games once a year. And these war games are really practice invasions of the North. When the United States was the only country in the world that had nuclear weapons, we used them twice. When other countries got them, it became a deterrent against the U.S. using them. The reason that North Korea is building nuclear weapons is because they know the United States continues to threaten them. And when Libya, the Libyan president Gaddafi, was building nuclear weapons, the U.S. said, look, if you stop, we promise not to, to invade you. They stopped, and the U.S. invaded them anyway. The North Koreans recognize that and see that. And that's why they're building nuclear weapons. They have never invaded another country since the Korean War. The United States has invaded countries over and over and over again. We have 20 times the number of foreign military bases as all other countries in the world combined. The reason that North Korea is doing this is to protect themselves. They are not the aggressor here. The United States has nothing to fear from them, but they have a lot to fear from the United States, and so does the rest of the world.
So, Joe, we only have time for about another 90 seconds. I'm going to give you two questions. You can answer whichever you prefer. One is, that any of our local congressmen or United States senators particularly bad or good on the peace issues that we wouldn't expect from a Democrat or a Republican? And then just if people want to find out more about the peace community here in the Capital District, what's the best way to try to keep informed?
Well, to find out about the peace community, you can go to Bethlehem Neighbors for Peace website, which is called bethlehemforpeace.org, or go to UNAC's website, the national one, which is UNAC Peace, UNACPEACE.org. And you can get information and sign up on our list there. There's others from other peace groups, which I don't have time for right now. But let me just say about the war issue. It is a bipartisan issue. Hillary Clinton was no better than Trump on this. In fact, she was worse on some things. She wanted to do a no-fly zone in Syria, which would have caused a crisis at a much rapid rate than is even happening now. I don't think you can depend upon either the Democrats or Republicans, and I think we need to build an independent peace movement in this country, and that's what we're trying to do.
Well, thank you so much, Joe.
You're very welcome.